Are you ready?
Ready to transform your life and step into the person that you say you want to be.
Ready to stop talking and start doing?
I'm Ange, a health and fitness coach.
And I'm Ashley, a Reiki master and energy healer. And we are here to help you do exactly that.
And you're busy. We get that, because we are too.
But even with the challenges and chaos, you deserve and can live a life full of absolute joy, happiness, and purpose.
We want you to join us in taking radical responsibility so that you can take everything in your life to that next level.
Have the best sex of your life.
Live in a body that you love.
Let go of worry and stress.
And live in total alignment.
You're happier, healthier, an amazing life is waiting for you.
Let's get into today's episode.
Hi, guys, and welcome to the Transform Your Life podcast. How are you, Miss Beautiful Angela?
I'm doing good, Lady in Red. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, it's been a weird morning. We are, kind of all over the map. So, yeah, but we're good. Yeah. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Just been talking to some clients for the day, and that always fills my soul up. So, yeah, been a good day so far.
Good. Ours has been, okay, so this is like a little bit off the beaten path for the things that I share and the things that go on, but it's spring, obviously, where we are in Canada. That means that there's rain and sunshine and sometimes snow and just this like barrage of different kinds of weather. So the boys have decided that they wanted to get their dirt bikes and four-wheelers out and do some mud running, which is fine. But I just wasn't in the like headspace to deal with that. And anyways, went out. And as I do that, we're checking the animals. And so we have rabbits, we have chickens, we have ducks, we have bees. And so I went out and we have three new kits. We have three sets. So those are litters, basically, of bunnies. And the one mom has started to eat her kids. And I'm like, I cannot handle this. I cannot do this. I am not, okay, we're doing this. Like, right. And so we're in this place of new beginnings and kind of spring. And there's lots of excitement that comes with that. But sometimes when it comes to like having animals, and this is something that my husband always says, and now my children say, is if you've got livestock, you've got dead stock. And, but it always hits me in this like really hard, weird place of like, I can't deal with this. And so I had to deal with it because Cam's at work. And so there's this like little tiny baby bunny that is suffering that I essentially have to put down. And I'm like, I almost got my 8-year-old to do it. And I was like, girl, you are a grown up. You have to do the thing. You can't get your 8-year-old to do this. Yeah. So I,
That's shit, girl. Oh, that's not what I expected you to be. Wow.
So anybody who's listening, I'm sorry. That's like, if that feels like a bomb to you, I apologize. That's not my intention, but we are in this like trying to be more homesteady and just sharing the very real things that come up with some of that stuff. So
that you're sharing that so openly, honestly, and what a real interesting experience, even around your home. I'm wondering, do all three of your children react in the same way when it comes to situations like that? So situations being surprise death. Would you say all three kind of move through it in the same capacity, Ash?
Similar, I would say. And I've really noticed, so my husband and I have very intentionally started with like pets and animals when they were quite young. And the very first thing that Felix ever had was a goldfish, or not a goldfish, a betta fish. And the intention was that, you know, we wanted our children to experience death on a scale that is smaller prior to, you know, losing potentially really important people in their world. So before grandparents or like, you know, people around them start losing, that they have an experience with death and grief that is hopefully kind of where they are in their life. And so anyways, Felix took that very hard when he lost his betta fish, but he was, you know, he was five. And so ever since then, we've just been really mindful of the animals that we have. And we love our animals. But there's a very big difference between pets and food and, you know, pets and farm animals. And so we have lost, we've lost two pets actually this year. And it's different than losing baby ducks or losing baby bunnies, even though they're so cute and they're so lovely, but there's not that same attachment. Whereas we put our dog down that we've had for 10 years. And that was like, all of us were a disaster zone, right? And so there's a difference. There seems to be this ability to separate what is farm and what is, you know, a pet. And so if we lost Kita, our other dog, it would be probably much more challenging. And versus kind of recognizing that, oh, that's a, you know, that's a farm animal. But yeah, so it's this weird kind of, but for me, I'm like, they have a much better understanding and like ability to cope than I think I do. Like, as soon as I went out there, I was like, okay, like this is a farm animal, you know, all these things cognitively, but there's this like heaviness that sets into my chest. And I'm like, okay, like there's emotion here, right? Whereas for them, they're kind of like, they understand the logistics of it. So we had to, right before this episode, so what we did was she still had like all these other babies. There's still like eight in her litter box. And so, or not litter box, that's what I call it, but litter box sounds like poop box, but that's where her like kits are, her babies. And so we take this like box back out and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, is she gonna, like, what's gonna happen? Because essentially we can't not put the other ones back in. I took them out and brought them, we brought them into the house to keep them warm, but they need to eat, right? They need to nurse. So there's this like strange, yeah. And so I called my husband and he's like, well, they have to go back in and, you know, there's not a different option. So yeah, but they have a better ability to grapple with things. Oddly enough, I don't know, did I tell you about one of our cats? So we also have cats. And the only reason we have cats, we're not like, cats are great. They're lovely, but we don't have them in our house. They're very much rodent control. We had a chipmunk in our garage that was chewing on our truck. So anyways, but these cats do turn into pets because our children start loving them. But on my birthday, of all days, the cat goes down to the pond, and this is like the favorite cat, of course. And this is maybe 3 weeks after our dog of 10 years had just been put down. So we lost Briar, who was the dog. And then Bubbles is the cat's name, which is ironic in this story. Anyways, the ice was starting to melt on the pond, but it hadn't fully melted. So Bubbles went onto the ice and fell through, and we couldn't get him back. So he just like drowned in front of the, like, Felix and Nolan. This like pet that they love is like, anyways. So there's been like some really big, not, some of them have been really big losses and other ones have been normal farm losses. And so we're just kind of in this place, which spring is fantastic. And we're going to talk about all the magical things of spring, hopefully. But I just wanted to be very real and honest, just in that, you know, I think all of us, we think of springtime and we think of the excitement and we think of all the good things. And this podcast, typically we're talking about, you know, big, beautiful, wonderful things or the things that are coming up or the things we're doing or the ways I'm thinking of one of the episodes we just did of manifestation. And that's just like so full. But I also wanted to bring the other side of it that shows that there is hardship, there is loss, there is death. And that is all a part of that beautiful cycle of life. And so, yeah.
Love it, girl. I love that. I love shedding light on that realness. And even with the direct contrast of last week's episode, I feel like it feels good to show that realness and to really shed light on the reality of what you're doing. Now, one thing you talk about, Ash, is being able to remain in a state of bliss despite what's going on in the world around you. And for those that are listening to this particular episode right now, can you just explain that to all of them in the beautiful way that you do, because I feel like it is connected to everything you just explained.
Ah, yeah. So the reason that I do what I do is because I truly believe that we are all designed or can achieve living in a state of bliss. And I'm very clear every time I talk about bliss that I'm not talking about joy. I'm not talking about happiness. It's not positivity. It's not pretending. It's not imagination. It's being okay when everything around you, outside of you, is not feeling okay. And the example that I use is a tree, right? And like a tree that stands strong and tall, firmly rooted. And if you go right from the root, you know, to the trunk, to the branches, and let's presume that this is a fruit tree, the fruit on the tree is the ability to give back, right? And so, Angela, imagine, let's pretend you are the tree. So being firmly rooted means you feel safe, secure, connected. You interact with the earth because you know that that's where you chose to be. And then as we move up, you move into the trunk, and that's where the steadiness is, right? We often ignore the trunk of a tree when we think of all the other parts as really important, but the tree is actually what holds it together. And that's your core. That's where your soul is. That's where, like, who you are lives. And it's holding, you know, everything together. And so you want a strong, firm, set core, which is knowing who you are. And then you move up into the branches. And those are the higher chakra places. Those are the places where you start to connect to the divine, to your higher self, to source, to God, to universe. And that's where once you are completely strong, steady, secure, know who you are, connected to source, then you can start to bear fruit. And if you think about the fruit on a tree, that's what people eat. That's the ability to give more than you actually need, right? And that's what all of us hopefully can get to, is where we live in a state of bliss. And so that's when we're like thriving, right? Is when we've got this fruit. So I picture like an apple tree, right? And so I've got all these like beautiful apples. And when I have apples, my life is overflowing. I have so much in my cup that I can't help but create so much more abundance for even the people around me, right? However, what we're talking about, and at the beginning of this episode, that's where we talked about, you know, there's wind, you know? And so if I'm a tree and a storm comes my way, or the wind starts to, you know, pick up, I'm still, if I have really strong roots, a really centered core, if I know who I am, I'm connected to source. The only thing that should happen is that my ability to reach out to others and to give back in an overly abundant way might get shaken. So I might lose my fruit, right? Just think of an apple tree in a windstorm. Probably lots of that fruit is going to fall to the ground. But hopefully, if I'm in a state of bliss, regardless of how big that storm is, I can come back to center quickly and easily, right? I might bend, but hopefully I don't break. And if you compare that to a tree that has a really shitty root system, you know, somebody who doesn't know who they are, they're not grounded, they have no connection to source, they definitely don't have a whole lot to give back to other people. And so when the storm of life, whatever that may be, in my case, it's, you know, dying bunnies, which sounds kind of like strange when I say it out loud, but whatever that storm is for you, whether it is, you know, dying bunnies, whether it's a divorce, a death, a loss of any kind is a storm. It's a storm in life, right? And there's so many storms, and there are still so many storms to come. And so regardless of the storm outside of me, I can, if I am shaken, that I can come back to center quickly and easily, right? And one of the things that we talked about in our last episode was the importance of having people around us who cheer us on, right? Who like lift us up. And I'd like to add to like this whole idea of what bliss is being strong and steady and able to weather any storm, being centered and grounded in who you are. Now imagine there's me or there's you, and we're standing tall and strong in the middle of like this wide open field, and a storm comes, right? And it's, you know, we're probably hopefully going to be able to come back to center and we're going to, you know, be okay, even when, you know, shit's falling apart around us. But imagine you're in the forest, right? Imagine you've surrounded yourself with other strong trees, other trees that are firmly rooted, other firm trees who know who they are, who are connected to source, right? And you're going to, so long as your branches don't impede on one another, you'll actually be able to break that wind from each other when life is bringing you a storm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think
that I love that. And I was going to say it even connects with some of the things that we offer, but also the magic in not trying to do it alone, not trying to go on this path of coming back to bliss or coming back to being grounded or rooted or centered, and trying to do that on your own versus the connection with other people and the ability to really create those strong roots. And I feel as though, especially when you start to hear the voices or start to see the posts on social media or start to see the things that start to resonate and start to make you think like, hey, I'd really like to be part of that particular forest or like to belong with those sorts of people. I think it's being willing to say that, like, I don't want to do this on my own anymore. I don't want to be a tree on its own anymore. I've been going through life for so long and it's only been me, and really leaning on those opportunities when they start to kind of whisper in the wind to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, even what's even harder than being alone is being around. So imagine yourself in this magical forest, right? Of beauty and wonder and sunshine coming through the leaves. And, you know, there's lots of fruit and, you know, the animals that are drawn to this area is a really healthy, vibrant ecosystem, which is what we want, right? But so many of us, I think we live in these toxic forests, right? Where there's like, you know, there's dead branches or there's dead trees. And I want you to just, so anybody who's listening right now, just have a look around your life and, you know, compare it to a forest. What needs pruning? What needs to go? Where do you need to set down roots? And where do you need to maybe uproot some things? Because when we surround ourselves with broken and dying trees, or, you know, things that are falling apart, or we're just in this place of, you know, when you don't belong, or, you know, when you've outgrown, and starting to think about where do you want to put down those roots? And that comes, you know, in and around those people, those places, those situations. What kind of experiences do you want to have? And the thing that I think Angela and I, and probably everybody kind of getting to the age where we are, you know, and different clients, we're all recognizing that life is not elongating. If any, like, it's just getting shorter, which is good, right? But it also means that we need to start paying attention. And this showed up with a client just recently, actually yesterday. And the thing that showed up in his session was, who do you want to be remembered as? That was literally the question that came out of his body. Who do you want your children to remember you as? And he was like, holy crap, right? And so I think it's that call, as we talk about like this forest, and as we talk about, you know, death and life and spring and all the things that come with it, is who do you want to be known as? Who do you want to be remembered as from your family, but also yourself? At the end of your life, what are you going to look back and be so proud of? And what are you going to look back and go, ugh, I shouldn't have done that? I see so many people, their biggest regret is working too much. I don't know anybody who says like, man, I really wish I would have worked more, right? But there's lots of people out there who go like, you know, if I could go back in time, I would have worked less. And I would have enjoyed my family more, right? Maybe for anybody who's listening, maybe that's you. Maybe that's where you're landing. Or maybe it is that, you know, it's finally time that I start moving my body more because it's something I know I need to do and I've been avoiding. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, just even with this time of year, it's such a good time to like take inventory even on how you've spent the first few months of the year. right? As we transition into a new season, just really looking at if maybe you set some intentions at the beginning of the year and you haven't really fully followed through with those. Maybe you had some curveballs or some surprises in the first couple months of the year, and now you're ready to do that reset and ready to get back into the path and the alignment that you're hoping to achieve. So I think it's a great time to kind of just really be looking at that and do that activity, not only in your garden, but also in your life. I think the other part too, and the question for people to consider, is that there might even be some stuff in your life right now that you might need a little bit of help just to do that clearing or to do that energetic reset. And I wanted to just invite everybody that's listening for our upcoming event. Last week we talked about our manifestation, but today I really wanted to make sure that we let everybody know about our breathwork ceremony. We had the opportunity to do one of our sacred breathwork ceremonies in Mexico, and it was pure, pure magic for the souls that we were able to touch and help heal and release. And so I'm just really excited to bring this event to Belgrave once again at the Renewal Retreat Center and help people with renewal, help people kind of go and move into spring and summer and fall with all of that gunk being gone. And so why don't we just tell them a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, so it's going to be on May 9th. It's a Thursday, and it'll be held from 6:30 until 9:30. So the actual ceremony itself will be from 7 until 9 with a half hour buffer on each end so that, you know, we can all settle in and start promptly at 7, as well as have a little bit of time after to integrate and to share. But breathwork is this sacred, beautiful ceremony. Angela and I have done it individually with clients one-on-one, but also, and I think one of my favorite ways to experience it, and my first way of ever experiencing it, same with Angela, was in this group ceremony. And in ceremony, there is, so everybody's set up. We like to set up in a circle. Sometimes that doesn't happen. In Mexico, we were set up so that all of our heads were facing north. And so, but everybody gets a mat, and you come into this mat, and we're going to teach you how to breathe. And we have two types of music that we use that pair with the breath. And so it's called Shamangelic, which is we pull in the shaman drums, more Danish war songs. And those really kind of like get the heart pumping and get things moving and bringing things. And then there is the angelic side of it. And that's where we call in the angels. And there's a softness and a gentleness and a place where we land both with the breath as well as the music and the transformation that comes. So sometimes we've done two rounds, sometimes we've done four rounds. And so each round is a set of the drumming music paired with the breath, as well as the breath holds that come with the angel music. And so we take you through this series with the breath, and everybody's experience is a little bit different because, like Reiki, you know, whatever we are holding is different. The shit that is in Angela's life is different than the shit that is in my life. And, you know, the wonderful things that are in Angela's life are different than the wonderful things in my life. We're both very different trees, right? And so we want to be able to take whatever that experience is, whether it is extremely positive, because it's been that for some people, that it can be this really powerful, transformative, orgasmic experience. We've had people, you know, we've had a girl who's been taken to orgasm before, which is, I want that breath work. Sign me up. But we've also had, Angela and I both experienced sacred rage, right? Which is like the epitome of like the deepest, darkest part of your soul screaming itself out of your face as loud as it can. And then everything in between that, where, you know, some people just really experience a gentleness and other people experience joy, other people experience a deep release of trauma. And so it's this powerful journey, and it lasts only an hour. So we do some card pulling, but the journey with the breath is only an hour. And so I always think I can do anything for an hour. I mean, I've given birth, I can do anything for an hour, right? Not that it's hard, but some of the things that come up sometimes can be challenging But Angela, I think I've talked about kind of the process. Why don't you talk about what it feels like after? Because that's where the magic is. Like, it's this powerful journey as you're experiencing it. And then afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for those that come to ceremony and for us included in that, I think the best way to describe breathwork on the other side is a little bit of a feeling of lightness. Perhaps you might feel as though there was a release. You know, when you have a really good cry and on the other side, you feel so good because all of that is outside of you. There is a feeling sometimes of like euphoria or a feeling of connection. Sometimes people can have visions, so can have things that they're seeing or connection with loved ones that have maybe passed on. So there can be that connection that can show up. The other thing that I think that really happens on the other side of breath work is a lot of times we have gone through things in life, whether we remember them or we don't remember them, and they were just stored somewhere in the body and we didn't even really know what we were holding. And so sometimes on the other side of breath work, there can be a little bit of this feeling of not even knowing what you were holding or not even knowing specifically what it was that was coming out of your body. Like maybe a shake starts happening and you're like, I don't even know what that was. But your body and the breath just kind of take over. And I think on the other side of that experience, I think there is a feeling that my body just knows what to do. My brain doesn't have to try to figure this out. My body just knows what to do. So I think on the other side, there's this feeling and this trust in ourselves again, and maybe a trust in something bigger than yourself that can also be felt from those that participate. And I would say the last thing that a lot of people experience when it's all done is a sense of clarity, maybe a sense of peace in their heart. Maybe there's a sense of just answers of questions that maybe you've been wanting. Sometimes those can pop in. And sometimes we're just rewriting some memories. Like I know for Ashley, you've described it as you had to give birth again. So a traumatic birth that she had with her, one of her children, she was able to relive that. And now that's inside of her no longer as a traumatic memory, but now as a memory that she feels a sense of peace or a sense of completeness. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are some of the things that people experience on the other side. And what we've seen in ceremony is just a lot of people feel like they got their life back, or they feel as though they were able to let go of something that's been weighing them down for a really long time. And so we're just really excited for the opportunity to bring this modality to all of those that will be in circle with us. We've sold a couple of spots to the ceremony. There's a few left. And we just invite anybody who's maybe just interested in giving it a try, reach out to myself or reach out to Ashley. We'd be happy to answer your questions. And we'd also be happy to have you in ceremony with us so we can help you heal, help you laugh if you need to laugh, help you cry if you need to cry, and really help nurture you throughout the whole experience, because it's such an honor to be able to hold space and also help people move some big and scary things. So
I think you captured that beautifully. And the word that kept popping to my mind as you just listed off everything that kind of lands on the other side of breathwork. And I saw this massively in Mexico, as well as our very first breathwork ceremony, is freedom. Regardless of what's inside of you, there is this freedom. And it's something that, and maybe you can speak to this as well, but I've always felt free of whatever that is, and whatever the breath has taken me through, or my facilitators have whispered in my ear or have communicated through divine intervention. But at the end, I always feel free of my shit, free of my baggage, free of my worries, free of my trauma, free of my ego. And so everything that you just talked about there is there's that lightness, that sense of release, that relief that comes. But there's just this, like, I am free. And there's this taking back to like who you are truly, and that clarity that you talk about. That's, you know, that ultimate freedom to live fully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for freedom from whatever your own shackles are, or whatever your own blockages are, or anything that's showing up in your world, and you're ready to fly, or you're ready to feel alive, and you're ready to step into, you know, life that you know you should be living, breathwork is one of those things that can clear out all the fucking shit. Right. And I think about like, you know, spring cleaning, because we're kind of chatting about spring. Mm-hmm. So when I clean my house, it's different when I'm cleaning for our family, because there's a lot more functionality to it, right? Whereas if I'm cleaning for somebody else, right, and I'm cleaning for company, there's things that I see that I'm like, oh, that's been sitting there forever. Like, I need to move that mail pile or whatever, right? But then I think about, you know, when you hire a cleaner and they come in and you leave your house, or, you know, you have it professionally done, and you come home and you're just like, oh, my God, I didn't realize my floors were disgusting, and I didn't realize how bad the toilets were. And oh my God, she scrubbed that spot on the ceiling that I kind of forgot about. That's what it's like. So, you know, we do our best with self-care and taking care of ourselves. And that's like the regular cleaning. That's like the getting the laundry done and, you know, trying to keep the house sort of tidy to the best of our ability. And, you know, then sometimes we go outside of ourselves and, you know, clean for company. And we're like, okay, I'm really gonna, and I think of like the red tent ceremony, right? Where it's like, this is a really big self-care practice. This is like some big cleaning, right? Or I do something that is just for me. That would be like me cleaning for company. But then breathwork is like hiring the professionals to come in, and you're just like, motherfucker, I didn't even know that shit was under the bed. Wow. It feels better that it's not there. Right. And that's what I like
an analogy. I love that. It's such a great analogy for it. Mm. And honestly, like, to me, it feels like magic. I don't know how else to describe it other than it just feels like magic. Mm-hmm. And when we watch it happen, and the first song will play, or the second song will play at the beginning. And there's always this scent for me. I'm not sure if you feel this way, Ashley, but there's this sense of like, kind of like opening a birthday present a little bit, where you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to be in here, but whatever it is going to be magic. I just know it's going to be magic, right? But you just don't know what magic it's going to be. And so there is this amazing experience that happens in ceremony that it can only be described as pure magic.
Mm, I think that's a beautiful word for it, because it's like, how can the breath, like breathing, but really that's life force. That's, you know, if you stop breathing, you die. Like if you do it for an extended period of time, you know, that's the end of you. And so it's so simple, right? It's so simple that it feels like magic. And I think of, and you were the one who told me this, Angela, but like witch, the word witch means wise woman, right? And I think about, if you go back, you know, hundreds or thousands or however many years it is, back to the Salem times. And when we talk about, you know, the things that the people of that time, the witches, if you will, they were sharing information that was simple. It was so simple, but it worked. So one of the things that I think about, Angela, would be seed cycling, that you can actually use 4 different kinds of seeds, and it will bring your cycle into sync with the moon, right? That sounds so simple and too easy that it's like, there's got to be magic in there, right? And so it's the same with breath work, where I think like, you know, how can the breath do this? How can, you know, just breathing with this certain technique and pairing it with this, you know, powerful music, how can that do it? You know, it's so simple. And that's where that feeling of magic shows up. And so somebody asked me recently, kind of just after Mexico, like, oh, do you think you're a witch? And I was like, well, I really hope so, because it means I'm a wise woman, but, you know, I'm working towards it. But it's in those moments where it does. It feels like absolute magic is taking place. And it's using these ancient techniques, right? Using the breath is ancient, ancient wisdom. And so to be able to pull that very simple ancient technique, this ancient wisdom, to create these life-changing shifts and transformations feels like magic, right? And so it makes so much sense to me when I think back to like the times where I'm sure we were probably both witches at one point, and the simple, almost too simple, the ways that we've been given, and I think of even the earth. I feel like there's so much medicine that the earth gives us, right? The breath, the medicine of breath work. We're given all of these beautiful gifts, and they're simple and they're easy. We overcomplicate things in so many capacities that, you know, we can heal ourselves with the medicine of the earth, the medicine of, you know, the breath, the medicine of hands-on healing, the medicine of, you know, deep entrenched knowledge of the stars. I think of all these things that are just in front of us. And so if you're feeling like breathwork is one of those things that's just in front of you, we would love to have you, because it magical, magical.
Mm-hmm. So good.
That's so interesting. So as soon as you started talking about my breathwork session, the very first thing that popped in, and in connection to kind of spring, because it was springtime, it was about May. I feel like May seems to be like our breathwork. Like that's when we first had our first session, and it seems to be where we keep landing our annual breathwork ceremony. And so it's just interesting that that's how that's kind of happened. But my very first session, the very first experience I had was my mouth. I was laying, thinking I was having a nap, and my mouth filled with blood. Like I thought it was like actual blood. And I realized in that moment, as I'm breathing, it's literally in the first 3 minutes, that I'm dying. I'm not like actually dying, because obviously I'm here talking to all of you. But there was a sense of like, oh, I'm dying right now. I was very calm about it, but I was experiencing a death. And that makes so much sense and pairs so well with this episode when we talk about like spring being that, you know, there is death, but with death comes this rebirth, right? And so that's what I was experiencing, was this death for this rebirth. And yeah, I just think that was a neat connection. What was the very first thing that you remember from your first breathwork session? Yeah, because mine was like my mouth was pooling with blood. And I just had this like, ah, I'm dying. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I remember, the first thing that started happening is my stomach and my like lower stomach, like cervix, not even cervix, but I don't know, somewhere in that area was like,
right? Like your womb? Like your uterus?
It was like, yeah, I guess my womb, but it also felt like internal, like not even just like, I don't know, it felt like inside of me from like probably like my ribcage down to the base of my vagina. Like that whole area felt like it was, I'm going to say possessed is the best way to describe it, because I could not control what was happening, but it was like pounding and like vibrating. And it almost felt like things were moving like around in my stomach. So I remember placing my hand on that particular area, and I just started going like this with my hands, like trying
moving across your belly,
moving them across my belly. Yeah. When it was happening. And then I remember like starting to, I'm going to say, scream or like make noises. And I remember either Heather or Talia did the thing where
our facilitators, those were our facilitators.
Yeah. They came into like the position of like trying to ground me. And so they brought my legs like into my knee, like into my chest. And they were like, one of them was standing there and they said, push on my legs, take your power back, stand in your power, you can do this. And then they just did this thing, I guess, where I was trying to stand, and it was very, very hard for me to put pressure onto them. But it was this back and forth of like taking my power back is the best way I can describe it. From a visual perspective, I can't say that there was anything specifically visual. It just felt like I felt very weak and frail and then felt empowered. And I remember like thinking about like standing on a mountain and like trying to come back, trying to go to like a standing position, even though I was like laying. And that was the first kind of thing. And then the other thing I remember, there was a part where I felt like somebody was like, needed my help and like needed me to like reach back and grab their arm to like help them up. And I don't remember if you and I connected that that was you and I, or if it was Courtney, who was a client that was at the retreat, but she described something. I like kind of just put that in my head. And then we went around the circle and she said, I felt this experience where I felt like somebody was like reaching for me. And so I had that experience of like reaching out and grabbing somebody's hand that was quite profound. And mine went back and forth between like dancing and like dancing in the air and also feeling like a lot of pain or feeling a lot of like discomfort in the middle of my body.
I also was dancing. I thought that was a hilarious, because I think we were the only two, is what Talia and Heather, who were facilitating for us, they said we were the only two, and we were both dancing on our mats at the same time, doing like these warrior fucking things. I'm like, oh, that would have been so cool to see, like crazy. But like, we were both dancing and had this experience that there was this deep knowledge that this was what we were going to do. And yeah. I think it's so interesting that that very first experience is because breathwork, from what I understand, is there's not often more than one facilitator. So Talia helped Heather because there was 30 of us. And so, but typically that would have been something that Heather would have done on her own. And so there was this like, this, I guess, like parallel situation where it was you and I both had this, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to like do this together. And I think that that's just so, I think us dancing, like the warrior dance, it probably looked different, but I have no idea. Maybe it was the same. And one of the things
like it was like a remembrance, like the dancing was like a remembrance as if we had been in previous lives, either of an Aboriginal or Native descent and doing like dances around a circle. And it was like the choreography. I just knew that like that was the choreography. And it was with absolute certainty that like we used to be in circle. We used to dance like this. And this is your calling to bring this into the lives of other people. Like it was such a knowingness in that first ceremony that was like, we need to learn this. We are going to be facilitating. This is the next step. We need to get our certification. I am so freaking certain of it. It was instant.
Yeah, totally. Like just incredible. And I, one of the things I remember from that session, and this, I kind of forgot about it, to be honest, was each of my kids, my husband and myself, I healed all of us in that like ceremony. But Nolan, my middle child, he had this like dark blackness about him that, and I had been told previously too that, you know, there's something there with him, something karmically from previous lifetimes that's dark. And I was like, oh. So anyways, it showed up in session and I could see it. But I actually like cleared it and pulled them all into this like golden bubble where everything that Coralie was this beautiful like pink ball. Felix was blue, I believe. And Nolan's at first showed up as black. But as I pulled him in, he came into the white. Anyways, it was just like, I had experienced things that I didn't even know existed, right? Like would never have, you know, otherwise even thought of. So yeah, just like these. So if any of these things resonate with you, oh, just do it. Just do it. Cause it's like, it's the best. That's the best.
And with the way we talk about it, like, and the way that, I don't, the best way I can describe it when you're talking about it is like, it kind of sounds like you might be taking a drug. The way that we're talking about it, it's like, people would be like, that's crazy. Because you're completely sober when this is happening. But what's happening within your brain is it's accessing like levels of consciousness that are there, but we can only access them when a certain part of our brain is like turned on. So it's the same active ingredient as if you were to take DMT, and it can access that through the breath and the way in which you're breathing. And because it can access what's already there, it sounds a little bit crazy to your rational brain. You're like, I don't know, did those girls like smoke something or do something? Because that just sounds like way out there, right? Like when we talk about
it. No, not even micro dosing, nothing, like zero.
Totally sober, and you're accessing these cool levels of consciousness and releasing the stuff that's there. And so if you're like listening and thinking, oh my God, these girls are crazy, that's not even possible.
They're right. We are crazy, but it is possible.
But right. And so, and I feel like that's just something to just let people know that like it's your own consciousness that you're accessing. It's your own like psyche that you're diving into. It's just that you can't access it without the like using breath movement and sound. That combination together just really helps move things and also access those levels of consciousness. So just wanted to kind of add that little piece of information there. So we will put it all in the show notes, and we would love to have you guys join us. We only have 20 spots. So if you're listening and you're like, I need a spot, I would secure it sooner rather than later. We did sell out last year when we offered this particular event, which we imagine the same thing is going to happen this time. So you do not want to miss out if you want to be part of it, experience the magic. We know there was one girl that was there last year that she's coming back this time, and she's just excited to do it again, right? And
that same girl, I remember her saying, she's like, oh my God, I need to do this again next week. Like, when are you doing this again? Right. And so, yeah, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. I think we should tell them about the funny thing that happened in Mexico that almost happened in Mexico.
Yeah, that's a funny story. We should.
So, we're all gussied up. We got our hair done, or not our hair done. We did our hair. It was not ocean disgusting, is what I mean. So we got into our dresses. We got dressed up. We got the room all set up. Everybody starts showing up. Everything's going well. We're explaining the breath. We're doing our usual kind of explanation. We've found our flow. We're good. And then I start giving everybody this talk down, which is what I do, and to help everybody relax. And then Angela turns on the music. Mm-hmm. And it's fine for the first little bit. And all of a sudden it stops.
Abruptly, like in the first song.
Halfway through the first song. Yeah. And we're just taking everybody like, find your breath. And anyways, it stops. And I'm like, I'm still talking. So I'm like, I'll just keep talking. And I see Angela go over to the speaker because we'd had some trouble just hooking up to the Bluetooth, but it was totally fine. It was whatever. So Angela went over there and I don't know, working her magic, and she takes my phone and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell them what happened? Because
it's pretty funny. So I go over to the phone and I like look at my phone, and the music had, I hadn't turned the music off. The music had just like stopped. And normally what can happen is like when you do energy work, technology just doesn't want to work. So like that's happened to us in the past. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Technology not working. We're doing too much energy work. And I look down at my phone, and the song on my phone is LMFAO Shots. And the reason why it was on there is because it's connected to my house. And so at my house, my stepson was playing the song. But what happens is because they're both connected to the same Spotify account, it all automatically takes over when he goes to use that. So had I not have like looked at the phone and just hit play, being like, well, like,
it's like restart again.
Oh, this must just be a technology thing. That's what was about to play in the speaker. So I start having like, we got to figure it out. Go grab Ashley's phone. Ashley like handles it like a total pro. But
I wasn't even downloaded on my phone yet. Like I didn't have our playlist downloaded. And that's something we've always done in the past. And you always remind me like, girl, get this downloaded on your phone just so we have it as backup. I didn't.
Totally. So lesson learned, we learned. But the the clients did not hear shots, but it became like a big laugh that we had afterwards of like, oh man, girls, you got to download your playlist. You got to make sure that you're not connected to your home Spotify. That would be shut.
Oh my God.
It was a funny little fluke that we
think about that.
We handled it very, very well, but yeah.
I think we handled it. The only person who knew in that very moment what was like maybe going on was Carrie Ann, who has done that work with us and works with us. So she's like, oh, this isn't part of the plan. But the thing that I think is so interesting is, so when we talk about bliss, right? When we talk about that experience, so that's the moment where it's like an oh shit experience. How do I stay centered in this? How do I keep moving through this towards a problem solving situation? Because I was like, I don't even
ASAP and get not noticeable.
Right. But I think about all the ways that the universe supported us, because just prior to that day or a couple of days before, I wasn't hooked to the Bluetooth. My phone was not at all hooked. And we were just going to use yours. But there was a different situation where you needed your phone. So I had to figure out
how to get Bluetooth on your phone.
And it was like this, just a bit of a fiasco. And I was like, oh, it would have just been easier if I could have just used somebody else's phone who was already hooked. So
if it wasn't hooked in that moment, we would have been screwed.
And that's where I think like there's so many things where like a previous like what I thought was a frustration in the moment, you know, was actually setting me up for success in an actual fiasco situation, right? And so I just think of that as like always remembering that the universe does in fact have your back. She's setting you up for success all along the way. If you can stay in that state of bliss and not let it shake you and not let it bend you and break you, if you can keep coming back to center, it's going to be perfectly fine. And you're going to have a really good fucking laugh after. If it's not, right? Like, I just think of that as, you know, a big funny, but it worked out beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we know. And for ceremony in Belgrave, we are going to not do that again.
100%. Yeah. That won't happen again. But it's a really fun, and I think just brings us back to remembering, you know, we're fallible, we're human, we're divine as well. We all are. But that, you know, those funny things, we are not. And again, with this episode, right? Sharing the raw, sharing the real, like the true stuff that happens behind the scenes, you know, you get the full spiel. We're not hiding anything from anybody, mostly because I don't think we can. We would be really bad if we had to like put on this air of like, oh, we're so great and it's so perfect. Like, oh, let me tell you about all this shit. It's so great. It's hilarious. So I love that, you know, there's that side of it.
Totally. All right, Lady Love, is there anything else we want to add to make this episode?
No, I think the only thing that I do want to mention, and we can chat about this in upcoming episodes, but if anybody is feeling called to do a human design with reading with Angela, she's coming to the Bunky. And so there is a date. It is May 25th. It is a Saturday, and Angela is going to be in the Bunky doing human design readings for anybody who books for that date. So we have breathwork coming up May 9th, which is a Thursday, but May 25th, if you have been listening along and you feel really called to do a human design reading with Angela, we will get into the details of maybe what that looks like and how to, well, if you want to get your spot booked, just do it now. You can DM me, you can DM Ange, and we'll get you set up. Ange, how many sessions are you doing that day? Just so that everybody has an idea of how many spots are available.
I think we decided on 5.
I think it was 5. Right. And I think one of those is already gone. So if it feels like it's an alignment for you, getting yourself in there, because Angela has to protect her energy too and make sure that we're not overloading you. So 5 is the number. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see how that unfolds for you, girl. But yeah. So breathwork and human design are coming down the pipeline soon. The other thing that we're chatting about right now is our next international retreat. So if you have heard some of the magic or hilarious details of Mexico and you want to be in on our next retreat, keep staying tuned because we are sorting out the details of that. It will be within the next year or slightly more than that. We're just kind of figuring out dates and places. And so if there's anywhere in the world that you want to be and you want to do a retreat with us, just reach out, because this is the time we're planning it. So if you've got a place or you've got an idea in mind, we're your girls. Send it out and we'll consider it. So I think that's it as far as like magical stuff coming down the pipeline. But we love you all. Thanks for being here for another fantastic episode. And we'll catch you guys next time.
All right, guys. See you next Thursday. Bye, Ash.
Bye.